keep on hiding, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let it catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes! Say yes, sir! 12:02. As we get our midnight ride underway, 5 hours. I got you till 5 a.m. You know the deal. The warm-up show eventually will come your way, but we got 5 hours. In the meantime, your phone call is 877-337-6666. Romney will be rocking with us. Connor's still here. And let's go. We made it to Friday. The weekend is here. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting for something. I waited all day. I had nothing to do today. I woke up, nothing to do. No games to watch, nothing to do. I played Clue. You know, that's my life. But we wait. We wait. We'll get to the Knicks. We'll get to the Rangers. We'll get to the weekends for the Mets and Yankees. But let's start with the Giants because we did hear Joe Shane. I had that to do. I got to listen to Joe Shane. And let me tell you something right now. There is nothing more. I mean, you have to be locked in to these GM meetings and press conferences pre-draft because, whoo. They really, you learn a ton. They really, I mean, they say you should pay attention to everything said because they're totally honest with you and everything coming out of their mouths is just, oh, it's pure honesty. And you know exactly where their heads are and I feel like I have a good idea what they're going to do. I have no idea what they're going to do with the draft, but I can tell you a couple things. One, he seemed pretty pleased at the idea that he's keeping people on their toes. We have no idea what the Giants are going to do, and he loves it. You could tell that right away. But there are some things, while I don't think these GMs, and particularly Joe Shane, who, let's be honest, now this is draft number 3. And I think we are past the honeymoon phase of just being no longer David Gettleman. Like, that is, we are past the idea of, hey, it's not Gettleman. I guess he's great. Oh, look what he did in Buffalo. Oh, he's in cap hell. We got to give him some time, some patience. We have to be ready and understanding and willing to understand that it's going to take some time. Well, now it's been time. This is year number 3 in a league where we see teams come from last place to first place. We've seen it be topsy-turvy. It's time for the Giants, who did have a miraculous year 1 with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. This is a very important draft for this regime. And it's a very important draft for Joe Shane. And it's time for him, now that he's put, you know, now that you could put aside all the other stuff that goes with Gettleman and all the money he spent and all the different ways they put it and blamed Gettleman. And let's be fair, I mean, there was no issue blaming the previous regime for the failings of the New York Giants. There was never any problem from Joe Shane putting all the blame on the cap space they were in. Like, we got to be honest about where we are. We got to be real about where we are. And that first year and that success didn't change the tone. If you've listened to Joe Shane, he said the same thing about this roster forever, and he's still saying it now. Where he's saying, hey, we're not one player away. We're not two players away. He's been saying that forever. And while he's being right, and while I agree with that aspect, that this team isn't one player away, two players away, it's time to start actually starting to feel confident about the New York Giants. And it's time to start to expect some winning with the New York Giants. And this is a big draft for him, yet again at the 6th spot, yet again at the top of the draft. And while I don't think you can glean anything from some of the things he said, like the fact that he's comfortable with the 3 quarterbacks in the room, hogwash. I don't believe that for a second. That's the big one making the rounds because we all want to talk about the quarterback. That one, when he's talking about how he feels about his team and any kind of idea of what he's going to do in the draft, don't believe a word. And that is the biggest absolute nonsense I've ever heard. The idea that Joe Shane, who at the beginning and was asked the question because in the beginning of the offseason, we need to add a quarterback. If you think Drew Lock is the quarterback the Giants needed to add, and that he feels comfortable with the combination of Drew Lock, who's been a failed starter in the NFL, Tommy DeVito, who he went out of his way to praise and talk about the strides he's made. If you think Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock, and of course Daniel Jones coming off a neck injury, coming off a knee injury, if you think that Joe Shane is comfortable with the quarterback room, I got something to tell you, because there is no way in hell he could be comfortable with this quarterback room. He might be forced to go ahead with it, which is why he'll tell you he's comfortable, but he is not comfortable with the quarterback situation for the New York Giants. Nobody is. That's why every single mock draft, that's why we've been speculating for months. That's why the question is asked, because nobody is comfortable with the Giants quarterback room, nor should they be. And while I think, of course, he has to be prepared to draft another position other than quarterback, and he's talked about the wide receivers, and I think that's pretty much period stop when you get to the New York Giants. They are going to draft a quarterback, or they are going to draft a wide receiver, or they're not drafting sixth. And he also talked about the idea that he's gotten a ton of phone calls from teams looking to trade back, and that there's going to be movement at this draft. And the thing that I also took, if you listen around the league, Elliot Wolf of the New England Patriots, who has the third pick in the NFL draft, quite literally used the term open for business. He's open for business for moving up, moving back, whatever the case may be. And I'm telling you right now, the New York Giants need to trade up to the third spot and get the quarterback they believe in most. That's what this draft has to be. Come Thursday, a week from yesterday, if the Patriots are open for business, which many people have poo-pooed, we have heard a bunch of poo-pooing about the teams at the top of this draft willing to move out. They clearly need a quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback. Washington's going to draft a quarterback. Obviously, Chicago's going to draft a quarterback. Hell, who knows what's going to happen if 4-5 teams could move up to draft a quarterback. If you want even the likes of J.J. McCarthy, who nobody believes in except the idea that he's been skyrocketing up the draft ever since the week before the combine. And nobody believes in J.J. McCarthy, and they believe this is all just a smokescreen or nonsense, or, I mean, rue the day someone takes J.J. McCarthy at the top of the draft. There is no doubt in my mind that if New England is open to moving that pick, that's exactly what the New York Giants should do. It is time to get the quarterback of the future for this franchise. And I'll tell you, the other telling thing, and it's funny because Marco played it in the open. One of the things that I found interesting, coming from a GM who was an assistant for Bean in Buffalo, who traded up for Josh Allen, and that's, by the way, hello, what got him a job as the GM. That pick and the development of Josh Allen is what brought Buffalo South to the New York Giants. That is why Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are here, because they drafted and developed Josh Allen. But he was asked about the quarterback tax. And he was asked about the idea when you trade up and teams know you are looking for a quarterback, is it more than what you would trade up for another position? Or is there some sort of added value you have to pay when going up and taking a franchise quarterback? And he responded to that question by saying, yes, I believe that's the case. If they know you're going up to take a quarterback, the position is so unique and important that, yes, there's an extra added tax to that trade. And I ask you, there's two ways to look at that. One, you could look at it and say, well, this team is, in his own words, is not two pieces away. They've already traded a second-round pick to get an edge rusher, which a deal we all kind of love at the moment. We'll see how he plays. But, I mean, that's for a team that doesn't have a lot of weapons. For a team that's still struggling at offensive line over the last, 20 years. For a team that defensively could use a lot, is going to be transitioning to a new defense, could use a bunch of pieces, could always use more, very young in the defensive backfield. I mean, for a team that has a lot of needs and holes, well, do I want to pay extra to go get one piece when the GM told me himself we're not one piece away? Seems like a lot, right? Or you could look at it the smart way, the intelligent way, and say, you know what? I wonder why there is an extra tax to trade up for a quarterback. I wonder why. I wonder why teams would ask more of me if I was looking to take a quarterback. I wonder why. Do you know why? Because it is by far, without question, the most important position that sets up your franchise for sustained success in the NFL, unlike any other. And that's why the price is so high. And that's why you're hearing about Minnesota looking to move up. And that's why Joe Shane is getting so many phone calls to trade back from six, because the quarterback position changes your franchise. And I don't care how many holes you have, and I don't care how young the defensive backfield is, and I don't care about your offensive line, and I don't care about any of it. There's no extra tax to trade up and draft a tackle, is there? There's no extra tax to trade up and draft a shutdown corner. There's no extra tax to trade up and draft an edge rusher. Because as good as those players can be and as integral as they are to winning, they aren't the driving force of winning. That's one position. And despite what he continues to tell you, and I'll be the first to admit, he sure does continue to tell you how much faith they have in Daniel Jones. And he downplays the idea that they have buyer's remorse, a report from Rich Eisen a few weeks ago around the combine. And he'll deny that. And the expectation is Daniel Jones to be the starter. And hey, we don't need to draft a quarterback. We're comfortable. We're comfortable with a failed starting quarterback, a guy who's selling pasta sauce, and Daniel Jones, who's coming off two out of the last 3 years needing season-ending surgery. A quarterback whose biggest weapons are his legs. And now I'm afraid every time he gets hit, he'll have a neck problem, and he just blew out his knee. And yet, we're comfortable. They are not comfortable. And if they are comfortable, they're not as intelligent as I thought they were. And if the New England Patriots are open for business, do not allow the Minnesota Vikings, do not allow anybody else to step in and do what you should do. And he talked about the success rate of drafting quarterbacks later in the draft and how it's not very good. Be all in on this. Have conviction in your guy. Call the team that's drafting third who's open for business and trade what you have to and pay the quarterback tax and go get the future of this organization. That's what you do. 877-337-6666. A little bit of draft. We can talk Jets draft too. Is there number 10? And for me, it's very simple for the Jets. It's we didn't hear from Joe Douglas, but it's about making life easy for Aaron Rodgers. Draft, and I think besides the idea that I want the quarterback, the Giants, theoretically, if they are unable to move up to the third pick or find themselves at six and every quarterback they want already off the board, I still think you do play the game that most GMs play and the game that Joe Shane talked about of letting your board decide, and your board will talk to you, as the way Joe Shane puts it. Well, we'll get to a spot, and then the board will talk to us. Well, the board will talk to them and the Ouija board, but you know the Ouija board usually is just some douche who won't stop moving it. Never played Ouija board? I can't take this, kid. Do you don't know the Ouija board reference? Do you know what a Ouija board is, Rami? No, don't Google. Turn on your mic and answer the question.
No, sir.
Oh, my God. How does he not know what a Ouija board is? But
I should stop making faces at you when you say things that I don't know what they are.
I could tell you. Like, what the hell's a Ouija board? Never mind. The board will talk to the Giants because, hey, they're open. Like they said, they have holes everywhere, and they can play the game of drafting at the top of the board. I think if their quarterback is gone, there's almost no doubt it'll be a wide receiver. But still, they're open to almost anything. I think the Jets are in a position where you do not, if the best player on the board is a shutdown corner, I'm not taking it. If the best player on the board is an edge rusher, I'm probably not taking it. I need to make sure this offense is dynamic with Aaron Rodgers. They are in a unique position. The Giants, for me, are drafting for the future. The Jets are drafting for the here and now, and this run with Aaron Rodgers that they've already are too deep in to back out of now. So a little NFL draft as we wait for the playoffs to start this weekend, but we can get into the Knicks, and we will. Jalen Brunson is not only a superstar, but he loves you. And we love the ones who love us. There is no doubt about it. Plus, let me ask you a question. Is there really such a thing as bulletin board material? Is there really extra motivation for a playoff series? We'll get into it. 877-337-6666. Plus, baseball teams will get back in underway and back in action as the Yankees come home to play the Tampa Bay Rays, always a fun series. And the Mets, the hottest team in baseball, Mets, will go to L.A. and take on the Dodgers and Yamamoto later tonight. So we got plenty to get to over the next 5 hours. We start with the NFL draft. We'll get to the playoffs. We'll get to the baseball. We'll throw in some movie stuff as well, as I literally just watched the trailer as I walked in, and we typically do on our five-hour midnight rides. And I have to answer back to this smarty pants who called me a few weeks ago giving me Beatles trivia and tried to make me look stupid. Well, who's stupid now, sir? I come with facts. Let's have some fun over the next 5 hours. McMonagle here with you, 877-337-6666. Back with your phone calls next, right here on The Fan. All right. 1225. McMonagle here with you. Right here on The Fan on this five-hour midnight ride. And Ken DaCosta, you know, you can always hit me up on Twitter, at CMACWFAN. And you can always go back and listen to the opener or any other segment of the show on the Odyssey app. Just hit the rewind feature. You can go find me in the podcast as well, anywhere you find your podcasts. Go look, search McGonagall. It's McMonagall. But nice. This is from Ken DaCosta. Back-to-back midnight rides. Well, thank you. Just remember, C-Mac, your impersonations are better than your singing. Well, a couple things. One, nothing is better than my singing. It's the best thing I do. It's my greatest gift. And two, I don't do impersonations. So I'm not sure what you meant by that. I don't really do it. I mean, every once in a while I'll do a Francesa. That's about it. Or I'll do that thing where I talk to myself in another voice. Like, what are you going to do? Something like that. But I don't really do impressions. It's not like, okay, now I'm going to do Al Pacino. Hoo-ha!
What if you impersonated a singer?
Well, that's true. I do an impersonation of the Allman Brothers, I suppose. 877-337-6666. But nothing is better than my singing. Nothing! Limo driver Ed, out in Allentown. What's up, limo driver Ed?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Good, man.
Good
How are
you? All righty. You know, to tell you the truth about it, I looked at that kid Williams and everything. I mean, really, to tell you the truth, all these quarterbacks that is coming out, I mean, they need to sit and wait for a while. I don't see none of them being a franchise quarterback.
And how do you know that, limo driver Ed?
Because you know why?
Yes.
Is that we done had a lot of quarterbacks that come out, and these two ain't no difference. How many last year came out as quarterbacks? I think only one did good, and one started. I mean, the other ones did. but they didn't do good. You know, so, and then like in Chicago, I'm just saying, is this kid from SC, did he transfer from somewhere else? He doesn't, I don't see that. I don't see him sticking in the pocket. I see the kid, everything they showed was him running, throwing the ball.
Well, because those are the plays that are NFL plays. His accuracy and arm strength on the run is what makes him an NFL quarterback. And that's why those are the highlights you see. Yeah, I mean, listen, what I could tell you is, Ed, is that Caleb Williams has been talked about as the next great quarterback draft prospect for years. I mean, for a long time, we've heard his name. Doesn't guarantee me anything, but I just find it presumptuous. I'm sorry. I find it presumptuous that you or I would say, oh, I just don't see it. Now, you might end up being right because it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL. But you do not know better than the teams inside the NFL. And everyone is telling you this guy is as good a quarterback draft as prospect as you could have. Now, it doesn't guarantee him success, of course. Of course. Who knows? I was listening a little bit this morning to the morning show, and they were talking about when Al said that he won't make it here because he cries. After a loss, he was crying and hugging his mom in the stands. Maybe that is a glimpse into the kind of person who can't be successful here. Or maybe it means the exact opposite, that he cares and he will. Who knows? I don't know. We make these declarations. I don't know. I'll be the first to tell you. That's why I want the Giants to trade up. That's exactly why I want the Giants to trade up. Because I can't tell. I'm smart enough to know what I know and what I don't know. And I can give you opinions on which quarterback I like best, and I'll tell you the truth. I don't love J.J. McCarthy for sure from what I've seen. I mean, I used him as an example of the guy that I never expected the Giants to even consider drafting, and I would go, I want them to take a quarterback. I don't even care if it's J.J. McCarthy. I never thought in a million years he would be in consideration for the sixth overall pick. That's why I used him. And yet, here we are, where now it doesn't look like we're going to get him. The Giants are going to get him at six if they sit and wait. But when I want them to take their guy, and I would imagine he'd still be there at three. Now, if they only believe in two, I don't want them to draft a quarterback they don't believe in just to take a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. That's why I want them to move up, because I want them to take a quarterback they believe in that Brian Daboll believes he can turn in to the next Josh Allen. Because we're going to see it this year. Buffalo is jettisoning players. They just got rid of Diggs. They're in salary cap hell. And while they haven't gotten over the hump to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, totally true, they've won the division. They are a winning franchise. They're the number two seed or three seed in the AFC playoffs every single year. He's owned the division since Tom Brady left. And while they haven't won a championship, they've had sustained winning. And we'll see. Now they're losing Diggs, they're losing defensive players, and we'll see if they still win. And if they do, you'll know why. Because you can have a quarterback where other pieces come and go. But as long as you have Josh Allen, Buffalo's going to be a winning franchise. That's what I want. That's what I want. Daniel Jones isn't that. Daniel Jones, everything's got to be perfect. I don't want to pay $40 million for a quarterback who needs everything to be perfect. I'd rather pay $60 million to the quarterback who could do it without. And we'll see if you could find that guy in the draft. Steve in Flushing. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Mac. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
Thank you. So, listen, number six pick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've gone over all the quarterbacks. You know, we've heard the names.
Sure.
Let's assume Minnesota gets that third pick, right? So three QBs are off the board,
mm-hmm.
okay? You're still at six.
Yes.
You don't even have to get cute, in my opinion, if you're the Giants. Listen, let's assume, okay, we know Caleb Williams will be gone.
Right.
I don't know what that
I mean, we think it's Daniels and May.
Yeah.
You think those are the three quarterbacks
Daniels
gone?
Right. Right. Okay. So one of those two for sure will be gone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume Daniels and May are gone. Let's assume. Okay. So now you're left with McCarthy. You and I both agree. You know, I've seen Hackenberg. To me, he screams Hackenberg. So I'm staying away from that.
That would be terrible.
Big program. You know, he didn't do anything. I've watched the games. I have my eyes. I see he didn't do anything. Who's the other two? Okay. Listen, Penix is there. Okay, watch, not you, but tell your audience, watch tape of Steve Young in 94 and watch Penix throw. Don't tell me it's not the exact motion, the exact same ball.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. He's one of the better. He throws a beautiful football, there's no doubt.
And he throws it accurately, and he can throw all types of throws. Those are the exact check marks you put on a quarterback that's going to be effective in the NFL. Take him at six. Okay, go ahead.
I'm curious then, why has he moved down the draft board while J.J. McCarthy has moved up it?
I can promise you this. He will not be he will be a top 20-22 draft pick, Michael Penix. There's no way.
I think that's probably. Yeah, he's going to be a first round pick, I would think.
Yes. Okay.
As long as the medicals are okay, and it sounds like the medicals have been okay.
Yes. Oh, they are. And people are going to look back. It happens every year. It happened with Lamar Jackson when the Ravens took him in the last pick in the first round. And look at Lamar. He's top four or five quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's got it. And then look at this. If they take a wide receiver at six, I'm going to pull my hair out, whatever's left of my hair, because there's a dude from Western Kentucky named Malachi Corley, who I watched tape on. This guy is just as good as any of the guys going in that you hear from Mel Kiper's mouth and all these other guys.
Come on.
You can get talent. I'm telling you, watch tape on this guy. He's built like Debo Samuel. He can catch the ball. He can run. You can get him and Penix. You do not need to get cute. Take Penix at six.
You're talking the epitome of being cute, though. Passing on one of these stud, one of the three wide receivers deemed to be, all three of them could be number one receivers in any given draft over the last 10 years. You're going to pass up on them for some guy that you like because that's the epitome of being cute.
Hold on. Let's get this straight here, so your fans and all one can hear this. Your draft position players are only as good as the quarterback throwing them the ball. We don't have a quarterback, so who cares if we draft a receiver at six?
Well, because you plan on having a quarterback. You
need the quarterback first. That's what I'm saying.
I don't disagree with that on some level, but you still need weapons. You can't just ignore So what do you get? Like, if you don't have a quarterback, I don't think you can win. So what position should you get? I mean, the Jets didn't have a quarterback, and Garrett still won Rookie of the Year. Like, you still need weapons. And the talent is there, and you hope to get the quarterback. And if you could block it for Daniel Jones, I don't think Daniel Jones is... Like, I don't think Daniel Jones can be trusted moving forward, and it's going to be year six of him being unsure. I can't keep going into every offseason with... And new season with, hey, if Daniel Jones can be this, Daniel Jones can be that. That doesn't mean I think he's a bum. If you can get Neighbors or Dunze and you could block it up a little bit, he could maybe get him the ball. And then when you get your quarterback, your wide receiver's ready to go. Like, you still, just because you don't have the quarterback doesn't mean you can't draft one of the great talents of the draft. And everything I've read, everything I've seen, is it's quarterbacks and wide receivers at the top of this draft. That's it. Those three are absolute stud game-changing wide receivers. I'm not messing around. You're talking about not getting cute. That's passing up on either quarterback or one of these stud wide receivers. If Marvin Harrison is there to be taken at six and they don't like a quarterback, and you're not going to take him because you think you found some gem you could draft later in the draft? Let me tell you, whatever position you took then at six, you could find someone later in the draft at that position. You take the best talent available. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, nice show. How you doing, C-Mac?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, let me ask you a question as a Giant fan, and then I want to talk a little about the draft for a second if I have a couple of seconds. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so first question is, Who do you think is a better quarterback, Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor? I think Taylor actually played better.
He did play better this year. I don't think there's any doubt he played better this year.
And if you look at his stats, he was a starter. He has a 28-28 record. He's got, you know, his numbers are way better than Jones are, you know?
Yeah, but listen, the point is one's making $40 million and thought of as the franchise quarterback. The other one's bounced around the league for the last handful of years as a backup. And so if I even have to think of the answer, it tells me all I need to know.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. So in terms of the draft, I like your idea about the trade up to three. So I was looking at you ever look at the NFL point calculator to figure out what's worth what in what round, so you have an idea of
I haven't recently, but I've looked at it. I'm aware,
right, so
I'm aware
three,
of the calculator.
Yeah, number three is 2,200 points. Number six is 1,600. The difference is 600.
Right.
So New England's probably going to ask for more because they're going to know the Giants want to trade up for a quarterback.
Right.
So that you got to give them a little more.
Yep.
So if New England says, give me the second and third pick of this year, the second pick is 520, the third pick is 240, that's 740, so they're going to lose 140 points. But they're going to lose a lot of draft capital, too. So the point is, if they go for a quarterback, what about all their other shortcomings in other areas, you know?
No, I mean, listen, you're going to it impacts the draft if you're trading away, and they've already traded away that second pick.
Well, would you do it? Would you do that trade?
Yes. I would do anything to get the guy I believed is the franchise quarterback. Yes,
even if you're going to sort of write off the year thinking it's going to take you
Not right off the year necessarily, but yeah, you're not going to have a full complete draft class. This year, you've traded a lot of it for the quarterback. I mean, for the quarterbacks who've worked, right? For the quarterbacks who've hit, tell me which one of them you wouldn't trade most of your draft class for. Like, would you not trade most of your draft class for Joe Burrow? Would you not trade most of your draft class for Patrick Mahomes? Would you not trade most of your draft class for Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson? Like, if you get it right, it's worth it. If you don't, it's not worth it. I mean, clearly, you're setting yourself back if you're wrong. There's no doubt about it. That's the gamble. But we've gambled and been right, and they still lose. Like, that's the main thing for me. The reason, and thank you for the call. The thing that bothers me is that even when the Giants have been right, like, oh, you can't trade up for a quarterback. What are all the draft picks you're giving up, and what happens to the rest of your roster? And you need all these guys because you got holes. Okay, well let's look at the previous Giant drafts. Forget even the misses. They've hit with. Andrew Thomas as a left tackle, hit with Andrew Thomas. I think most fans, especially, I mean, the owner's crying because he went to Philadelphia. I would say you hit with Saquon Barkley. You hit with Dexter Lawrence. There's a handful of hits. I think Thibodeau isn't a miss necessarily, not a huge hit, but not a miss so far. I think he's hopefully in a new defensive scheme can actually get after the quarterback instead of getting into pass coverage. But what did all those hits do for you? Dexter Lawrence is one of the best defensive linemen in the league. What did it do for you? Saquon Barkley, one of the most talented running backs in the league. What did it do for you? Andrew Thomas, one of the better left tackles in the sport. What did it do for you? What did it do for the offensive line play? What did it do for his unit? Like, you can hit on all these pieces. It won't change the team as much as being right on the quarterback. And they're in position to try and take that chance. That's it. If this was where they were last year, drafting 20th, we wouldn't have this discussion. If Daniel Jones was healthy and playing well and they were, you know, even if they missed out on the playoffs last year but won 9 games and were right there, we wouldn't be having this discussion. He sucked and got hurt again. How many years can we do this? And here they are at the top of the draft with a coach who got his job because he developed a quarterback, a GM who got his job because he drafted a quarterback, and in a heavy draft quarterback draft. Like, I don't know what other signs you need to point to the idea of screw everything else, go get a quarterback. That's where I'm at. I'm at screw everything else, go get a quarterback. And if I'm drafting a quarterback, I don't want to take the chance that my guy falls to me at 6. Or that I end up taking a guy I feel less good about at 6. I want to go get the guy I want. And if that means trading up to go get the third pick, trade up to go get the third pick. Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Next
what's up, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, I just want to preview the Knicks after listening.
Yeah, we can talk some Knicks.
Yeah, yesterday's playing game. I was rooting for Miami. Matchup, but now it's Philly. I saw you talk here yesterday about like the out of gas. I mean, what they showed. Listen, they didn't play a good game. I'll give them that. But you know what? Philly, I'll give them credit. They adjusted. They couldn't get Embiid the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric Spoelstra was he's playing great defense. But and that's what the Sixers have. They have a great head coach. They got players who can make plays. I'm not saying Nick Batum's going to be the threat to the Knicks in this series.
Yeah.
But I think the Knicks, they got to crash the glass, contain Embiid, and it's going to be a hard-fought series.
I
think they can win.
Yeah, well, listen, I think they can win, no doubt about it. I think there are too many Knicks fans that I've heard. Listen, I'm confident they can win, and I am confident right now with what I saw from Embiid that the Knicks have the best player in the series. Like, now I'm confident that Brunson
is... You think Brunson is better than Embiid?
Yes, right now. Right now, yes. I think Brunson's the best player in the series. So if they have the best player in the series, I'm confident, but I've heard way too many Knicks fans, you know, think this is going to be easy. Like, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a very difficult series.
Listen, the thing about, like, I want to consider Brunson, too. I feel like the Knicks, all the good teams, like the Nuggets, the Bucks, they have great two-man game, like Jokic and Jamal Murray, and Embiid and Maxey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like who could be the second man to step up for the Knicks, and who do you think?
I think the answer is several guys to do it in different ways. Like, you know, obviously, OG can step up and be that
defender,
that secondary defender, like that part of Pippen's game to Jordan, like be the guy who shuts down the best player. You could probably guard Embiid for a minute. I wouldn't put him on it for the whole game, but he could shut down Embiid. He could shut down Maxey for a time. He can be that guy to close out on the shooters if they're up a little bit and Philly's starting to take some threes. Like he can get his hands into the passing lanes. He could do that for you. I think either DiVincenzo or McBride, or maybe I'm hoping Bogdanovich, if he can start shooting,
can get going
offensively and be that secondary scorer at times. But the answer is no. Without Randall, and I don't know if Ananobi's game leads to it offensively, I don't think there's that straight-up 1-2 punch the Knicks will bring you. I agree. Yeah. It's going to take several role players doing several different things to add up to that second player. That's why I was concerned. Listen, that's why when Randall was lost for the year, thank you for the call, Matt. When Randall was lost for the year, I had my doubts about what this team could be. And that's why I was concerned, and I felt like, geez, well, now it's all about winning one series. Now it's not about chasing a championship anymore. It's not concerning myself of getting to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's about just showing fight, winning one series, and feeling good about the year. But I've started to feel better than that after they went in and beat Milwaukee, and that they played well enough down the stretch to get the 2 seed. And I look around the rest of the Eastern Conference, and I feel like, hey, I think it's hard to make a strong case that the Knicks aren't that clear, and without question, there's a team better than them other than the Celtics. It's a very difficult, you could try and make it, but I think it's a very difficult task to prove to me that the Knicks aren't the second best team in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, no, it's going to take everyone. If DiVincenzo can't hit a 3 in the series, they're going to lose. If Josh Hart isn't doing if Josh Hart isn't getting rebounds, isn't playing defense, isn't going coast to coast, getting to the rim, they're probably going to lose. If McBride, you know, can't probably help guard Maxey at some point and play tough defense, if McBride is going to miss his shots, if OG can't hit his corner threes, like they have to shoot. They're going to have to get all their secondary pieces doing all the stuff they do. They're going to have to rebound. And I'm not even sure about containing Embiid, which, you know, you brought up in the beginning of your call. I mean, you could play the way – you could try and shut down everybody but Embiid and see how Embiid plays and if Embiid can beat you. Because I got to be honest, I know they've won a bunch of games, right? They've won 9 in a row now. So to look at it – and I'll be the first to tell you, I mean, I've seen highlights and stuff, but I wasn't focused on those 8 games since – or however many games it's been since Embiid has come back. I haven't watched the Sixers on a nightly basis all 48 minutes. So they've won a lot of games in a row. Clearly he's played well enough to able to do that because they were struggling for a long time, and as soon as he's come back, they were winning again, and they have an excellent record with him on the floor. So like I can't just look at that one game the other night and just say that's exactly what we're going to get from Embiid the entire series, but he looked He looked exhausted. He looked slow. He looked hobbled. And he looked like he wanted to play strictly on the perimeter. And I know at his size, he's capable of doing that, and that's part of his greatness. But limiting him to that, he's not the same player. And so right now, I do feel the Knicks are the better overall team. I think the Knicks are the better well-rounded team. And they will have the best player in the series, which is what may, and I think there's no doubt that they will. Unless Embiid shows me different, we're going to have to see Saturday night at 6 o'clock. If Embiid shows up at Saturday at 6 and dominates, and the Sixers take game one, then we'll be singing a different tune. But I feel like Brunson's the best player on the court, and I feel like the Knicks are the better overall team. They're better defensively. They crash the boards better. They probably have more shooters. I think they're the better team, and Embiid isn't the best player in the series, which is the fear when you take on the 76ers, that Embiid's the best player on the court and he's going to dominate. And right now, I don't know if he's capable of it. He's going to have to show us that. But no, I'm not super confident like many Knicks fans are. I'm not telling you they're going to run the Sixers out of the gym. I think it's going to be a really hard-fought series. I'll be shocked if it doesn't go at least. I'll be shocked if it doesn't go six. I think it's going to go six. But I don't know if you have to just completely shut down Embiid. I don't know if that's the style of play you have to, because I don't know if you can. I don't know the strategy of doing that. They've struggled with the zone, but they came back and played well and figured out how to break it a little bit in the second half and came back and won the game. It helped that, you know, Butler was hobbled as well. And, I mean, we'll see. They did battle back. They found a way to win. They do have guys. Maxey's obviously a very talented player. Oubre, and then, yeah, Batum came through and hit a bunch of shots for them in the play-in game. But the Knicks are going to have to crash the boards. The Knicks are going to have to limit secondary chances for the Sixers. I think that's going to be a huge key. They're going to have to win the offensive rebound battle. They're going to have to play defense. They're going to have to shoot close to 40% from three. And you're going to have to get great games out of Brunson. And if those things happen, I don't think the Sixers can beat them. But those things all got to happen. 877-337-6666. The other story surrounding the Knicks is a question of motivation. And is there such a thing as, you know, corkboard material? Can you be motivated by the comments of others? We'll get to that as we get through the show. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Justin in Bayport. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
First time on. Very good, man. I think I agree with what you're saying. I think Brunson is the glue for the Knicks, and I think he brings a toughness to them that no one's seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And he just finishes. The guy finishes. The first guy, you know, we had Carmelo, we had Stoudemire, but this guy, you know, backs it up. He finishes. He puts up these games. He's the first superstar the Knicks have had since Ewing and Stockton. And I'm excited to see. I mean, if we don't win a championship, I think that's cool. But I'm excited to see what they do in the playoffs, especially under his reign right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, and thank you for the call, Justin. I don't remember Stockton on the Knicks. Do you remember Stockton on the Knicks? I don't.
No. I don't remember Ewing on the Knicks.
Oh, I know. I think he meant like Clyde, Will Frazier. It doesn't matter. Yeah, no, listen, I agree. I think Melo gets too much shade. I think Melo was an elite scorer, but his style of play wasn't as inducive to winning as Brunson is. But, yes, no, this is – yeah, maybe he meant Starks. Ewing and Starks, not Ewing Stockton. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, he's probably the best in shooting, but that doesn't matter. Right now, they're about as good as they've been since the 90s, that's for sure. I like this team a hell of a lot more than I liked any of those teams with Melo and Stat and that 50-win team with, you know, 100%. This team is better. I like the feel of this team better. I think they have a better chance to go be successful in the playoffs. But, yeah, he's been incredible. And there's an argument to be made. Obviously, he's emerged even more so since the injury to Randle, because he's been allowed to strictly be the guy, and he doesn't have to, you know, Randle needs the ball. Randle's that type of player where he needs the ball to be successful. For Julius Randle to play his best game, he needs the ball a lot. So the idea that that burden of getting Randle the ball and his touches has been eliminated, and Brunson can just be the guy, be the offensive threat, be the guy they know is going to be the go-to guy when they need a basket. His assists have gone up since Randle went down. But for him to be the, you know, the unquestioned leader and unquestioned guy who needs to be the offense in the big moments, it's helped him really emerge. And I wonder now, and I still am hesitant to say it because you need two of them, but on any given night, it could make them better. On any given night, it could make them better. Over the course of a series and over the course of getting all the way to the NBA Finals, I find it hard to say that and believe it, that they're better without Randle or they're more poised to make a long run, especially because even with Randle, even with Brunson emerging here in the second half, the best basketball they played all year was in that stretch in January when they had Randle. There's no doubt that was the best this Knicks team has looked in a long time. That was the stretch of great basketball that made us believe in this team. But on any given night, not having to get Randle involved and allowing Brunson to take over could make them better. I'm not opposed to that idea. I just don't think it's plausible to expect that on a night-in, night-out basis over the course of multiple seven-game series on their way to hopefully an Eastern Conference final. I find that difficult to believe. But on any given night, on, say, they get to a Game 7 and Brunson takes over, there's a chance that that's the best version of this Knicks team. There is a chance of that.
Well, that's just it. You need him to do it every night because there isn't another guy.
Right.
But I think, I don't know who was on earlier with Keith, maybe it was Ian Begley, but
yes,
he was talking about how the game slows down and it becomes a possession-by-possession half-court game. The Knicks' offense moves so much smoother in the half-court without a Julius Randle, without having to get him involved.
Yes.
And so in that case, it's like, well, yes, we need Brunson to be on every night, but at the same time, the offense late in games, when it slows down and it becomes that half-court game, I'd much rather the Knicks' offense flowing through Brunson with all the off-ball movement that he does while they're trying to double-team him than Julius Randle holding the ball for 15 seconds of a possession.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think there is a happy medium. I don't think it's just, well, now they don't have to play iso ball with Randle. I still think Brunson was the guy here, and I don't think it would have just fell to that. I just think there are nights when, I mean, and that wasn't really Randle's, you know, Randle shot a lot less. Randle got to the basket a lot more this year than he did in previous years. I think there is a happy medium, and they were on their way to making it happen.
For sure.
For January. So, yeah, but maybe, like, if he would have just shown up, you know, 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And then been thrusted into the starting lineup, maybe that would have been worst case scenario. This team might be better than just getting Randle back a week before the playoff starts. Maybe that's plausible. And I understand the point. Brunson is the man. There's no question. Randle is the secondary piece on this team. Brunson is the man. So the idea that the man is more allowed to be the man without Randle here is a point, and I'm willing to see how it works. But that means the man's got to be the man every single night. It's not easy. That's asking a lot. 877-337-6666. All right, 1 hour down, 4 more to go as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on our 5-hour midnight ride. McMonagle here with you in the overnights, 877-337-6666. We'll have an update and back with more of your phone calls next right here on The Fan.